Hi, and welcome back. This is episode number 313. So today we have the sixth and final installment of the Outsourcing Summit 2020 for you. This is session six. We today are replaying the final session where we had all three of the outsourcing CEOs back in the studio and on the panel answering questions. This is a fantastic session. We talked to Tim Vorbach of Amapta. We talked to Marge Aviso of Telework PH. And we talked to Lloyd Ernst of CloudStaff. We have all of them in the studio at the same time asking your questions and the common questions that people have about outsourcing. So it's a really good session. I've listened to this through and I've really learned a lot listening to these guys again. So I am sure you will enjoy. There are some sound issues with this because it is recorded live. Please bear with us. We are resuming normal programming again from next week. From episode 314, we will have exciting new guests back for you. So we'll be done with the Outsourcing Summit if you are slightly over the audio replays of the Outsourcing Summit. But please do send me any feedback you have about the Outsourcing Summit, and we will be doing another Outsourcing Summit in 2021 in your region and your time zone, so keep an eye out for it. As always, if you want any of the show notes, you can find those at outsourceaccelerator.com/podcast. If you want to see the Outsourcing Summit for real, if you want to get the video replays, then you can also get that on our website at outsourceaccelerator.com. Hi, and welcome back to the Outsourcing Summit 2020. This is the sixth and final session for the day. Depending on what time zone you're in, it's 7 p.m. now in Eastern Standard Time in the US, and here it is now 7 a.m. in the Philippines. As you can see, it's light outside now, and we've gone through the night. It has been a long night for us all, and of course there's been some moments in there, but I hope you've enjoyed what we've brought you. And hopefully you've got some sort of insight into the Philippine outsourcing industry and really a behind the scenes view of how all of this works and clicks together. It's our mission really just to give you comfort and assurance that the outsourcing industry is big, it's sophisticated, it's established, and that, you know, it has a lot of opportunity for you and your business, and that also there's a lot of support structure here. So it's easy for you to engage and easy for you to find success when you are looking to start offshore staffing. So thank you so much. Of course, we've had five previous sessions. We had two expert panels at the beginning, and then we went around and we have done live BPO tours, so outsourcing facilities. If you didn't join us, we first of all toured CloudStaff, which is in Pampanga, and then we went to Telework PH, and then we went to Amapta, which was back here in Metro Manila. This morning now, we have all of those CEOs back in the studio, and the purpose there is so that you can fire any questions at the CEOs, and also so that hopefully we can give you some real actionable tips, takeaways, and insight into offshoring and how to get started for you and your business. So thank you so much for joining us. And of course, you know, everything, send in your messages and we will send all of this to you afterwards. There will be replays available. So again, thanks for being a part of the Outsourcing Summit 2020. Right. I'm going to start by introducing the panel. I'm just going to ask them to briefly introduce themselves again in case you didn't see the previous walkthrough tours of their facilities. Again, if you haven't seen those tours, I really encourage you to go back and watch the replays. We will be emailing you with details about the replays in the coming days. So without further ado, just want to first introduce Lloyd of CloudStaff.
Hi, everyone, and good afternoon or good evening, Derek. My name is Lloyd Ernst. I'm the CEO and founder of CloudStaff, I'm based here in the Philippines and have been here since about 2009.
Fantastic. And Tim?
Good evening. My name is Tim Vorbach. I'm the CEO and founder of Imapta.
Good evening, everyone, and good morning, Derek. Thank you so much for having me here in the summit. My name is Marge, and I'm the CEO and founder of Telework PH. It started in 2018, so we're pretty brand new, but doing, really, really well in this industry.
Thank you. So I've got some questions here, and questions that have come through the night. I've also got some questions to get this started, but please do send in your questions. We do have chat support now. And ask us, what's on your mind, and that'll get pushed through to us here. So to start with, we'll start with you, Marge. We have toured around your facilities. We have heard your personal journey. You started off in the outsourcing industry. Now you own an outsourcing company. In 2 years, you have grown from a startup with no staff and built that to 900 staff. Just sitting outside of Manila. So congratulations with that.
Thank
That's
you.
Incredible. The whole industry is seeing incredible growth, and each outsourcing supplier is seeing great growth, and it's a rising tide generally.
Yeah.
I suggest that, industries really only prosper if there is a win-win. And the reason why outsourcing is such high growth, I believe, is because it's such a high value proposition for the clients and businesses in the West. So just to start really, do you see the value and the opportunity in outsourcing or offshore staffing for businesses and clients in the West? Mm-hmm. Why should they try it?
Yes, so the pandemic has literally accelerated, the need for businesses to outsource. Not specifically to the Philippines, but generically all over the world. But it has given the opportunity for businesses to be able to tap on low-cost talent, but of superb and high-quality service delivery. And at this stage where everyone is in the pandemic, everyone wants to bounce back really fast. And the only way that you can do so, apart from having an in-house staff, is, of course, do you delegate it to a trusted outsourcing company in the Philippines? And it definitely is not limited to, in the past, everyone is used to knowing that perhaps we can just outsource a couple of talents or a couple of skill sets or professions. But now it's literally taking over IT, engineering, human resource, pretty much anything you can outsource to the Philippines. We have built-in systems and trainings in place and facilities that would support everyone, Filipinos, all staff, all companies to be able to grow their businesses.
Great. And Tim, we're all sitting here, we're wearing crazy masks, and just 6 months ago, you would never believe, we've seen all the facilities, everyone's wearing masks, there's a lot of COVID protection. We're in the new normal now, that has pushed people, as Marge said, into more of a remote capacity. The Philippines, is it in a position and is it prepared to still service businesses in the West when everyone is struggling to cope with the COVID environment?
Well, yes, because we're evidence of that. And the Philippines has been the backbone for many of the US's largest corporations for 40 years. There's a huge industry and it's been going for many decades. And I think what has used to be almost limited to the larger corporations, now because of technology and because of the incredible ways that all businesses can do business these days, it's now just unlocked it for SMEs and smaller businesses. And it's really, I think the question needs to start, why wouldn't you outsource? Why wouldn't you at least consider it? Because there's no technology reason, there's no personnel reason why it can't deliver what is required. And I think that, you know, like organizations like ours now are making it so much easier as well, because I think people have known also for a long time that there's lower cost resources outside of the States, and but it's that friction to get the quality and to get the fit right quickly and seamlessly. And that is exactly what I suspect all of us here do. And so it's getting so efficient, and people can make a phone call, I can pick up a call or an email, and they can talk to, you know, specialist people that say, okay, you want an accountant, okay, you want 5 years experienced accountant. We've got recruiting teams that do just that. We've got, you know, 20 people that have got US experience, accounting experience right now, who've done, who've got years experience ready. And I think this is when people start to discover how sophisticated and how evolved it's got. They start to realize that it's very, very effective.
Thank you. And Lloyd, a lot of people think of the Philippine outsourcing industry as a call center, as people can answer calls or do a bit of basic customer service. What is the reality though? Because a lot of people don't necessarily need customer service. Can outsourcing apply to accounting and to other roles?
Absolutely, Derek. And I think, as you've already mentioned, you know, the large US corporations have been here for, you know, 40 years. But what we're seeing is when small to medium enterprises move to the cloud, when people started to get rid of the legacy applications that existed inside their file server, inside their business, under the fire and under the stairs, as everyone's moved to the cloud, it meant that people could work from home or they could work from anywhere around the world. And so as a result, when we look at the sort of the work that cloud staff customers are doing, we have accountants, architects, we've got people editing videos, we've got people doing copywriting for ads, you name it, you know, and across all these industries. And the one common enabling element has been the cloud. You know, everything can be done through the cloud now. So that's meant it's been very easy for customers to be able to make sure that, you know, they maintain all their systems, all their processes, all their security, because everything's just delivered through the web browser or a terminal server.
Marge, you started off as a freelancer yourself.
Yes.
And the outsourcing industry is a huge umbrella term, really, for every kind of employment possibility. You started off as a freelancer, but then as you developed, you saw benefit in building the infrastructure and support services around the staffing solution. Mm-hmm. So what do you say in terms of the advantage of having clients work with an outsourcing facility so that there's access to hardware and office space and also support?
As opposed to having a freelance. Okay, yeah, certainly. So let me put that in a context or a story. So a couple of clients of mine have started with a freelancer. I mean, it makes sense if you're a small business owner. So he hired a freelancer of a platform, but just in time when he meets the deadline for the client, for the client's client, that freelancer disappeared. Out of nowhere, he's unable to contact, you know, he sends emails, he sends a lot of communication, he tries to call, etc. What I'm trying to say here is that with the outsourcing companies, we have guarantees in place. We have, for instance, if your staff says, you know, I don't have access to internet, then you can go into our office facility. Like for us, we are hybrid, so we do remote, we do in-house. So if our remote staff just, you know, got issues with the internet or power outage, which is a bit common in certain areas in the Philippines, so we do ask them to go to our in-house facility to continue the job. And as well as, you know, we do the management of the staff, which is very essential if you are managing teams or even as an individual staff, because from the selection itself, from the selection or the recruitment to really in you know, sustaining and encouraging the staff and making sure, you know, that he is able to work and, you know, emotionally and mentally, which is, you know, an issue right now. That's definitely something that clients look forward to.
And between the three of you on this panel, collectively you employ nearly 7,000 people. You know, it's incredible. It might be intimidating to some small and medium-sized businesses or solopreneurs or people that are just starting out thinking, this outsourcing game is really just for big boys, for the enterprise. Tim, what do you say to people getting started with offshore staffing? Is it applicable for people that just want one or you know, two people?
Well, it depends on the organisation that you consider. But at MAPTA, we will gladly support small businesses with one requirement or two staff, because our model is very customised. Everything is not a cookie cutter. It's not done on a production line. It's done on a very bespoke, tailored understanding the needs, and to do that for one client, one staff, is almost the same as how we would approach a client with 15 staff and six different roles, or 15 different roles. So yes, please, if you're considering it, like we just said before, I think there's a big difference in having the security and the commitment of full-time dedicated employees versus freelancers that understandably are looking to how they can secure their sort of their more volatile income by it's just a very different, it's a different mindset. It's what you would expect when you employ someone in your own office, and the sort of the commitment that you both make to each other, the investment you make in each other, and the sort of the expectation that if you do the right thing and it's the right fit, that you're going to have a long journey together.
Yeah, and it is something, you know, I ask people to go the professional route first. There are too many people that engage with offshore staffing that walk away disappointed, and I think often they're engaging with the sort of Tim Ferriss style VAs, they're off Upwork, freelancer kind of platforms, and I think that there's less reliability, there's less scalability, there's less professionalism with all of that. They're definitely options, but you won't be disappointed and you will get the results you are looking for just by seeking the assistance of professional outsourcing suppliers such as these guys here. Lloyd, one question that we have is in terms of security. People in the US or across the world, North America, are naturally hesitant about sending their work, their IP, overseas. How do they control it? Is it safe? What about data? What do you say?
Absolutely, Derek. And different organizations and different tasks have different requirements. We have some customers who process very sensitive information. It's called KYC, Know Your Customer, and their banking style applications. The staff who work for those customers work in what we call the Cloud Staff Vault. It's a secure area. There are metal detectors on the door, 24/7 guards. There is a pat down, no pens, no papers, no mobile phones allowed inside there. All the PCs are audited every month by an external auditor. The connections inside there go directly into a special router, which then connects to the customer. And it's all what's called PCI DSS compliant. And that's at one end. Then all of a sudden we have other customers who, you know, they need their staff to be on their mobile phone because they need to be, you know, on Facebook chat to customers and those sorts of things. So our Cloud Staff, we provide a full spectrum, including a secure work from home environment as well. So it really depends upon the needs. And I think that's one of the big difference that we all have with what we do and what large corporates do. They're very much one size fits all. This is it. And with my customers and everyone else here, you know, the customers want that flexibility. If I can't support their PABX, if I can't support, you know, their terminal server or the remote application they're using, then, you know, they're not going to change. Yeah. I'm the one who has to change.
And Tim, you know, as we say, outsourcing is a big umbrella. With often now offshore staffing facilities, or BPOs as they're referred to, there is the model of it's moving towards optimal transparency in terms of pricing, the transparent salaries. What do you say in terms of the model? And if you can just sort of give an overview of the model where it's transparent with the client what the staff are being paid and then what goes to the BPO.
Let me start by just sort of talking about the quality and the sort of the pain points that people can experience. And it comes down often to the talent and the quality of the talent. And that's another reason why you know, organizations like us, we've got the teams on the ground that can do all the screening, all the checking. We know we've got a much better way of assessing what someone's saying is being accurate, and so it starts there, and it leads to this transparency and the flexibility, because the model, yeah, with the Amapta, the pricing and the talent is selected hand in hand with the client, and so we will discuss with the client what their budget requirements are, what their needs are, and then we can put forward a whole range of different talent, and they can say, this is the price range I want to pay for someone, and then we can start pooling talent that fits in with that budget, and the talent sees exactly what the candidate wants to get paid. So then they're the ones that sort of say, well, I like Mary, but she's, you know, $1,000 a month, and Peter's, you know, $1,250 a month, but he's got more skills and more experiences. So the customer selects that. And then again in our organization, I'm sure it's the same here, but there's no markup on the salaries. There's no markup, and it's fully transparent. Our clients get to see the contracts that every one of their team members has engaged in. So they've got complete visibility of all the costs. And so, our fees are on the side. It said that this is our fee, it's $499 a month for all of these services, fully comprehensive, but there's no conflict. And there's also no conflict with the staff. So we're not in the way of helping staff keep on career growing and aspiring to keep on growing, evolving themselves and growing better and better. And that works for customers, because customers are, today, they're demanding it. And it's completely transparent on everything. Completely transparency on even things like the connectivity, the visibility of the connectivity coming into the sites, the level of all the eyes and the ears of what's happening on the ground here has to be reported back in a very truthful and transparent manner.
And Derek, one comment I would add to that is that because we have these transparent models where the customer knows the salary that the employee is getting paid, when it's time, if the employee's doing a great job and you want to make sure that, you know, they're rewarded, you know, that goes, you know, the customer is the one who sets the salary increase. So they have, it's having full control. It's just like having staff inside your own office, and that's the best way to think about it. Mm.
And there is an extra cost to having the outsourcing facilities and the oversight and the management. But I just want to remind any business owner, and I'm sure you're aware of this, that there are huge overhead costs with employing anyone anywhere. If you employ someone in your hometown, there's probably 30 to 70% costs on top of that employment, because you've got your compliance, you've got the office space, the insurances, the health insurances, you know, and it's easy to overlook these things because it isn't sort of contained within one singular invoice. With offshore staffing, it is contained within one singular invoice. It's all itemized, you can see it, but it's a contained, visible cost. And actually, if you break it all down to what you would be paying at home, then it's incredible value. The extra management, the oversight, the executive talent, all of these things that we've seen demonstrated in these BPO tours today is all included within that service fee. So incredible value for money there. Marge, let's talk about ethicality, and some of the tougher questions. There is concern in the West that people aren't getting paid enough, that, you know, people in the West are taking advantage of people earning maybe $500 or just $1,000 per month. You have experience. You started your career within the BPO industry, and the BPO industry here now employs 1.5 million people. What can you speak to in terms of the salary? Is it fair? Is it a good salary? Is there good opportunities for Filipinos in outsourcing?
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's why, you know, price arbitrage. Definitely, Philippines offers a lot more cost savings in terms of employment or offshore hiring. But it's definitely fair, given that, you know, the low cost expenses that we do here in the Philippines. I'm speaking for myself, so and I mean as a Filipino. And definitely, you know, it's not about looking or comparing it to what you are getting, obviously, And the wage here is definitely fair for what we are offering to our community.
And is a it's.
Good, I'd like just to jump in.
Yeah.
Because regularly, our staff will go to Australia or the States, and they'll spend time in their clients' operations, and they will come back to us, and they'll say they don't want to live there because they look at the comparative value of things. For example, they'll say like a bottle of beer in Australia can be $8 or something, mm-hmm. And so they look at it and they think it's much better off here. But just further to Marge's point, I mean the talent that our organisations are sourcing and employing, these are the top, you know, top 3%, yeah. Top 2%, top 5%, call it there, but it's the premium talent, mm-hmm. and you only have to look at the facilities and the infrastructure that is invested in to support them. The people that are involved in these industries are actually creating great career opportunities and futures for themselves.
And I think one comment I make is that, you know, we're creating the middle class here. And the employees that work for our customers are that aspirational generation. It's middle class people. And I think one of the real beauties about the type of models that we have is as the staff get more skills and add more value, then, you know, that then sort of rises the tide, which is the great thing, which is what's going on here. So this is the middle class.
Absolutely, yeah. And you see that all the time, in that this is a career path for people. You know, people spend their entire career in offshore staffing, and there's a fantastic ladder, fantastic career.
And
path,
you know, I think the other thing is that we, you know, our customers give opportunities that the big corporates don't. You know, you can go and work for Amazon and be one of 5,000 people sitting in a call center there, but you know, it's really, you know, do you think you've ever met the CEO? Do you think you've ever met Jeff Bezos? No. But you know, all of our staff, you know, they have two families. They've got, you know, the cloud staff family and the customer family. You know, and they know me, and they meet the CEO, and they meet their CEO in the US, etc. So you know, it's a different model.
Marge, can you speak to, you know, a salary? People might go, oh my gosh, but a salary of $500 to $1,000 per month here in. What does that get a person in Bulacan or in Metro Manila? Is that a reasonable salary, and is that a reasonable lifestyle for people earning $1,000 a month?
Absolutely. Just like what Lloyd mentioned, these people are within the range of middle to, you know, high class. These are people who can afford cars. They can afford really good houses. And these people are able to, you know, really enjoy a lifestyle that is definitely above the average Filipino. It's definitely way better in terms of what they're getting out of it.
Fantastic. And you know, again, sticking with the ethicalities, people are worried for the welfare of the staff, that there's sweatshops here in the Philippines. Lloyd, you know, we've seen all of your facilities. It couldn't be further from the truth, but what can you say in terms of the welfare? And
Derek, I've got first class lounges in my offices for the staff. But I think the you know, one of the we, you know, we have to make sure one of the roles that businesses play here is that we play a greater role in the lives of the employee than you would normally expect in a lot of countries. And so as a result, you know, we have a lot of social clubs, we have a lot of engagement, we have a lot of support systems for the staff. We run one of the largest community care programs in our part of the region, and the staff want to get involved with that. And so they like to make that sort of contribution. You know, next weekend, you know, the guys will go and give away 200 bags of rice distributed to those sort of communities there. So it is a matter of bringing that element, I think, inside with this as well.
Fantastic.
And so many clients visit. I mean, so many clients come from the States and from the UK, and no one comes close to walking away thinking this is anything but, and the absolute opposite to that.
And we have a question now from the audience. Raki, I hope I pronounced that right. Thank you for your question. Post COVID, What are the major new staffing trends that you see, you know, in your organization? Should we start with you, Tim? Like, what are the rising trends?
This podcast is brought to you by Outsource Accelerator. We are the world's leading outsourcing marketplace and advisory. We help big and small businesses with their outsourcing needs, and we can help you too. We cover everything from business and staffing strategy, optimal outsourcing structures, implementations, and fully managed services. If you're already outsourcing, about to start, or somewhere in between, then we can ensure that you get the best from outsourcing. That's the best prices, best terms, and of course, the best results from your outsourcing practices. We list over 700 outsourcing suppliers on our website, host this leading outsourcing podcast, and have over 5,000 pages of content. Because we span the entire market, we can ensure that you get the best deal possible. We offer everything from light brokerage, co-managed services, through to fully managed solutions. Get in touch today. Visit us at outsourceaccelerator.com/quote. Mention that you're a podcast listener, and we will give you special attention plus a 10% discount. This is for a limited time only. Go to outsourceaccelerator.com/quote.
I suppose the starting point with that would be, it's following the staffing trends are and our growth and our businesses are following the changes in how business as a whole is responding. And so the industries which are growing, e-commerce and online, are growing. And so those sorts of industries are growing, so teams and expertise is growing in those areas. I think the other thing with COVID, which has been very positive for this industry, is that it's demonstrated what a lot of people have known for many, many years, but COVID has proven it, that businesses can, for the large part, operate without teams being in one location. And for a lot of businesses, it really needed to experience this to fully understand and see it in operation. So that's the most significant thing. As far as post-COVID, the new staffing trends, I think the models and how that we're delivering the services have proven to be extremely resilient. And I suppose that's all I can say.
And Marge, we've got another question from Dave. Marge, how did you grow your business so quickly?
To be honest, I don't know. It's just, so for, I started as a freelancer. So I also have been started as an employee in a BPO as well. So I know a bit about the industry when I started. I was self-taught as a business owner, but essentially I think my core strength is with the people, communicating and building this interrelationship with the community. Another strategic advantage that I think telework has done is that we have employed people in the rural area, which then having been a staff myself, I was able to experience traveling back and forth in Manila, 4 hours travel, and I think traffic is a huge concern as well pre-COVID. And when I decided to build my business, I just went just 20 miles up Manila. I started there, and our people didn't realize along the way that they're actually having office mates that they know personally. You know, they probably are seeing their cousins in there. There's really a tight bond. Like Floyd said, there is a family that they have, and then there's a family for telework, and these are communities built in there. Of course, apart from the marketing and all, but essentially clients have been seeing results after results after results, and these results speak for themselves, and they also refer us to other companies. So that's essentially how we have grown.
Yeah, and I think it is a testament to what offshore staffing is and what it does for the clients. Yes. You know, it is like rocket fuel to people's businesses. And then so when it really works, you're going to get more clients, you're going to get the clients expanding their teams. And, sure. You know, we're just seeing that across the industry generally. It really is, it can be rocket fuel for people's businesses. And, you know, that's why this thing is growing. And if you're not outsourcing already, it's really worth you looking into it, because this thing is taking off and it's definitely not going the other way. Lloyd, if people, you know, they've hopefully been watching all of today, they've seen the BPO tours, they've seen the facilities, they've seen the potential, they've seen the staffing. If people want to explore offshore staffing, they're a little bit sort of tentative, they don't really know how to get started. What do you sort of typically counsel people? How should people get started?
Derek, the first thing is really, you know, starting that conversation with us. And, you know, and you need to get the buy-in of the key staff who are in your onshore team, because they're going to be the people that are going to have to run this. They're the people that are going to have to interact with your offshore team members. So it really is about starting that conversation early, explaining that this is not about taking jobs offshore, this is about moving those low-value tasks to another team here so that you can supercharge your folks on the ground to help drive the growth in your business, and getting those conversations about what you want to achieve with this. And you know, Cloud Staff's why is about we help businesses grow. That's what we do. And we do it, and you know, the element is the salary, but it's also about saving time and the tools that we provide you to help grow your business. But you've got to, why are you doing this? You know, and so, you know, get the key stakeholders involved with that. Then yeah, and again, we help out, we do presentations, we talk to people, and then we look at the roles I think another key part is that meshing of the roles. This is a role that I have onshore, you know, how is that going to look offshore? And sometimes we might come back and say, look, you want a .NET guy who's got 15 years experience, can do Microsoft DBA work and knows Power Builder or something like that. And we're going to say, hang on, they're hard to find those people in the US. And if you do, you know, they're going to be, you know, $10,000 a month. So you know, let's break that into a couple of different roles. So we try to mesh that. Our job is to kind of figure out, take what it is you're looking at do and how does the jigsaw at the back end here work?
You mentioned outsourcing, not taking jobs. You know, if we can, that I think maybe is one of the biggest concerns and criticisms of offshore staffing. What do you say to, is it really taking jobs? And how do you think it affects the general ecosystem of maintaining
North American jobs? My background was in technology, and you know, one of the misnomers about technology is it's going to take all these jobs away. And you know, yeah, look what we have at the moment. You know, and so you know, technology moves a lot of these roles. And I think same thing with outsourcing. And what I said what we're really focused on is how do you free up the time of the people? Because we think in the future businesses will get smaller, not larger. And what we mean by that is you might have 3,000 people working for you today. In a few years' time, you might only have 1,500 people, but you'll have 4,000 people in the offshoring, outsourcing, cloud staffing sort of model that sits down and drives that. Because you know, it's not only expensive salary-wise to manage people, it's also consumes time and the office space and all those other values that get added into that cost equation. So that's really what we encourage people to look at when you're sort of weighing up what it is about the roles moving across.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and it's not just outsourcing. We often hear that argument when we speak about technology or AI taking over, you know, the repetitive task. But really what you want to look into is there is a birth. It gives birth to new jobs, new roles. Remember when Google was starting out, we think about, you know, the librarians going through these catalogs to search for it. And now we have people who are actually running the program to be like the librarian, or actually, you know, do the search or the search engine. So it gives birth to new roles, and definitely that's something outsourcing can also provide.
And also, there's many situations where clients have experienced team members, but they're caught up in routine tasks which they don't want to do, and accounting firms, again, not to focus just on accounting firms, because like Lloyd's business, we cover all the industries. It's very, very diverse. But as an example, you've got experienced accountants that are doing their regular works, and some of those accountants after a few years onshore want to go and do other things, and it's a retention tool for those firms to sometimes say, right, we're going to get that taken care of, so then you can do more client facing and more other stuff, and you can keep going in your career. And so there's all these different dynamics as to actually where it actually helps. But I think businesses have a responsibility today to be efficient. I mean, this is a global marketplace, and if you look at some of the countries that have grown in the past, they've had access to lower cost resources. And so I think particularly for the US businesses, to not access the whatever resources that can help them globally be competitive, that's the right move for them.
Tim, I've got a question for you here from Michael, and I'm adding to this question, but outsourcing might seem a little bit too good to be true. We're saying, you can save maybe 70% on staff costs. Everything is managed for you, and it's just about you getting the talent to build your business, and outsourcing can really add rocket fuel to your business. Where's the catch? Are there hidden costs? Are there add-on costs? Can you speak to any other charges, any other costs involved in this relationship?
Yeah, I can only speak on behalf of my business, Amaptive, but I'm sure it's the same here. Look, all the costs are completely known, and there's no, I mean, that's a, those sort of practices are yesterday's, and the businesses that were doing them, they're not in the leading businesses. So everything is shown up front, and it's clear, and it's, and customers wouldn't accept it. So you've got one cost, which is the salaries and anything directly associated with the salaries. We break down those costs so you can see exactly what is the health insurance for those people, what is the 13-month pay, what are all the other elements, so a customer can see it line by line what it is, what the salary is for the staff. And then we have a fee which encompasses all of everything, the computer hardware, the security, the connectivity, all the 24/7 IT support, HR support, everything, the client relationship management, and all those other aspects. And then there's different models have different, maybe they have their setup fees, and there might be a nominal setup fee for either an onboarding fee or to get the IT and the hardware set up. There could be a recruitment fee, and usually those instances, and for example in our business, they're very, very nominal. We're not trying to put a barrier up for a customer to engage and get their first staff member going. But if you want the quality, and the quality with the recruitment and the sourcing and the reference checking, and all these other aspects, they're not free. And so as a provider, you've got the choice of either saying bundling it in and not having any nominal fee there, or you're going to recover it on the journey. But different models have different things, but there's no surprises. I don't think any business today can try to put in a cost later, which the customer doesn't have full awareness that it's coming their way. And if that happens, then they're not dealing with the right business.
And hopefully this is what the Outsourcing Summit is helping with as well. We're trying to build trust between you and your business and the Philippines and the offshore staffing industry. This is a well-established, sophisticated industry. This isn't about people sort of cutting and running with your money. This is a highly professionalized industry, and it's incredible value, and it can help really add rocket fuel to your business. Marge, in terms of the process, if someone wants to get started with you tomorrow, I assume, these aren't robots we're talking about. You have to go and find the staff specific to the client's requirement. Can you just speak to what is that process for getting a client started?
Sure. So as soon as you decide that you wanted to work with any of us, you certainly you speak with one of our specialists to guide you and plan out how you would be maximizing or utilizing outsourcing to fully and leverage on that, fully grow your business. And it all starts with, of course, laying down the foundation. What do you need? What type of task? And you need to look into your organization. What type of task do I need to outsource? And I would say you start small with a pilot team just to get a feel of how it goes. And then just also basic level tasks without the risk of, you know, exposing sensitive information just yet until you're comfortable with the outsourcing partner. So the process goes, you talk to us first, and then the outsourcing expert will lay that down. And then we do the sourcing for our clients, because we want to make sure that we are specifically sourcing. Although I know we have a pool of talent ready, we want to make sure that it's very specific, and just like you said, top 5% of the talent that we have is being shown to our clients. So that typically takes one week to as much as 30 days, depending on the training and depending on how extensive it's going to be or how many talents need to be trained on that. And essentially the training is this, on the client side, apart from the culture foundation training that we do within. And then from there, we do like a nesting period where the staff just gets to be doing the actual job itself, and then having some metrics in place to ensure that this staff is of high quality and is able to do the job well. If not, then we have to unfortunately let go. But after that, then the client, then that's the actual jobs. That's where the actual job starts. Everyone is monitored. We have control measures in place.
Lloyd, people, the sales cycle for offshore staffing can be long. People sometimes put off offshore staffing. They might say, you know, we'll look at this again next year. And I think they can so easily do that because they don't realize the full potential of offshore staffing once they've plugged it into their business. What do you say to people in terms of getting started now as opposed to putting it on?
Absolutely. I think timing is everything, and I think there's certainly some good opportunities at the moment. The COVID has actually, I think, opened up more opportunities than it's closed, especially in our particular game there. Especially when we look at the US market and where we think that, you know, the momentum is gathering for next year, now's the time to be starting to put those plans together. Because there's a ramp up time, there's a learning process involved with both the onshore team and the offshore team. And, you know, now is the time to be starting to get those skills. And this is about you building this competency inside your organization, because this is going to be one of the skills that businesses globally are going to have, moving forward.
Tim, businesses across the globe are built on talent. They're built by humans. What can you say in terms of just making sure that you access the right people, you get the right people on the bus, and you get the best talent for your business?
I think it starts with the first conversations with the right people, and again, I think it's the same with just listening to Marge, how she's speaking, and Lloyd speaking. Our organisations have the same approach. You're talking to smart people. That's the first thing. You make contact with one of our firms, and you make contact with a MAPDA. The people that you talk to about what you're thinking about doing and your ideas are smart people. They're very experienced. We know that most of the inquiries that come in are owners, CEOs, the high-level people, and so you can expect and you will get a sophisticated conversation that can do all of the things about understanding the roles, understanding the organisation. So it's the process is, it needs to continue until the right talent is sourced and secured. I think that's the founding piece here, and so I think that's how you get how the journey starts. And then when it's started in the right way, then obviously all the other steps to manage it properly. Go ahead.
I think where the hold up is coming from is most people are really they wanted to see how risky it would be to move things from their side to offshore. And I think it's all about mitigating risk. So I know Cloyd has that on their website. There is a checklist for what to look for in an outsourcing company. And you have to make sure, of course, you do your research and all that, but you definitely want to make sure you have a checklist and calculate the risk it'll take for your business. And of course, the lesser the risk it is, that's definitely make more sense for your business. It's a matter of taking that first step, really.
Fantastic. Yes. So guys, we're coming to the end of the Outsourcing Summit 2020. I hope you have enjoyed the day. I hope it's given you a different perspective on the Philippine outsourcing industry and the potential that it has for your business. As a recap, we've had the 6 sessions today. We have toured through the outsourcing facilities of CrowdStaff and Amapta and Telework. We do have special offers from each of these outsourcing facilities. They have graciously created these offers and they're available 2-day only. And again, you know, it's my mission to get you started on outsourcing. It's easy to put off to next month or we'll start next year. And it's just really trying to get you over that initial hurdle of getting started. There's 100% money back guarantee if you aren't comfortable once you have the initial consultation. So I encourage you to start today. It really is and certainly can be life-changing and transformative for your business. So we'll have closing remarks soon from the guys, but effectively all of that is on the dashboard. But also reach out to them independently, individually. All of their details are on the website. Please share the Outsourcing Summit and the concept of outsourcing with your friends, colleagues, other business owners. We will be sending you information on replays of the event and, of course, more information on the outsourcing suppliers and all of our partners here today if you want to know more. In my closing comments, I just want to reiterate again that this is an incredible opportunity for you and your business. It can be transformative. It can add rocket fuel to your business. Globalization is happening. We're seeing globalized marketplaces, globalized workforces, and it is happening. And there is incredible opportunity in terms of salary arbitrage, wage arbitrage, access to talent that you just don't get in your home market. So it's an incredible opportunity. And I think it is now becoming essential, not that you outsource, but essential that you consider it and explore it for your business. You don't have to do it, but just consider and explore outsourcing for your business. So I want to thank the panel. And if you have any closing comments, please do. But from Lloyd, do you have any?
I think it's been really great to come and share a few of our insights. I think the my parting comment is really along the lines of this is a new opportunity in businesses. It's a new lever, and it's something that you do have to go through and go through that learning process and explore. But then the real magic is you have this capability and how you can apply it throughout your organization. So thank you.
And Tim Vorbach of Amapta.
Thanks, Derek. Delighted to be putting the spotlight on the Philippines. And I think this the risk reward is profound. I mean, yes, there's some risk, initial risk, and the process has some friction to get started, and particularly if you haven't done it before. But the return and the ongoing nature of the cost efficiencies, and again, like Lloyd said, there is some learning, there is some onshoring conditioning to get this expertise. But we think that all businesses are going to need to evolve a level of ability and management execution with offshoring, because it's makes such a profound a difference. So I think the sooner the better.
Thank you. And Marja Viso of Telework PH.
Yeah, sure. Look, most of the top 500 or companies, large organizations in the US are leveraging on outsourcing for their business. So if they are using it, why can't you, right? This is an opportunity that is presented not to everyone, but you are given a chance to taught, to try it, to see it for you, to see for yourself. It's a matter of taking that first step to really look into the bigger horizon and looking into what outsourcing can do for your business, not only for growing it, but also really leveraging on talent that's, like we mentioned, not available in your home. In order to reduce that risk, you've done your research, we've presented it, everything to you. Now it's your turn to take that first step. It all begins with you. So yeah, check us out on our website, mindstelework.ph.com.
Thank you so much, Marge. And so, you know, just to recap, we've had a fantastic day. Hopefully it's given you incredible firsthand insight into the outsourcing industry. As I mentioned, we have special offers below. Check those out. They are available for another 2 hours only after the event. Of course, I encourage you to reach out to the outsourcing suppliers here directly. There's no barriers. This is all transparent. Reach out to them directly. But of course, the special offers, incredible discounts, are available today only because we just want to get you over that line and get you started. So thank you so much. I want to thank, of course, the panelists and also our other partners for the event. That is Payoneer, that is Santos Knight Frank, and File Pino. All of their details are available on the website. Please do send us your thoughts, your feedback, any questions you have, and share this with friends and business colleagues. We will be sending you more details after the event, and there will be replays after the event. So from myself and the panel, thank you so much for joining us at the Outsourcing Summit 2020. Okay, that was session 6 of the Outsourcing Summit, and that is a wrap for Outsourcing Summit 2020. As always, if you want any of the show notes, go to outsourceaccelerator.com/podcast. If you have any questions for us, send us an email to ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. We are back with normal programming next week. We have exciting outsourcing experts and guests for you, so stay tuned.